Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This Trump thing, I mean, everything is a Trump thing. That's probably the most nebulous intro ever because the Epstein files, it's actually become really, really silly in my view. But we wanted to get an educated view on it, which is why we're chatting to John Day. He's an attorney based in the United States. He's been following the slow moving story of Jeffrey Epstein files and the implication for Donald Trump and American politics. So this week, Trump found himself facing prospects of the information being released again about him, even though when one looked into it, there didn't seem to be very, very much there in any event. But let's try and understand what is really going on here. John, a very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're well.
Yes, good morning, Howard. Thank you for having me.
You know, I think we've said this before, that I find this Epstein thing, people really trying really, really hard to use it for their own advantage. And that, in a way, is quite dangerous. But let's take a step back. Where are we? What is going on here?
All right. So, and that's the starting place is the latest is there are these thousands of pages of files that include things like emails that that Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted pedophile who died in a prison cell, you know, the official word is that he committed suicide. There are some who don't believe that, of course, given the nature of what's going on. But there are these thousands of files that initially some of this material, and the issue has been, is the Trump administration going to release all the documents that they had promised that they were going to release during the election and recently? Because at that time, it seemed like Epstein was a liability to the Democrats, not so much the Republicans. Now, the allegations are that Donald Trump shows up in these files. And that what we've seen is a couple of emails from Epstein in which he seems to indicate that Trump was, there was some involvement. There's, for example, there's one email where Epstein says that there's a young victim, underage victim of Epstein's sexual trafficking, essentially. And he claims in this email that Donald Trump was at Epstein's house with this young person who's not named or whose name is redacted. All right, so if there's a smoking gun, perhaps that's the closest it gets to. But the overlying picture is that the Congress is dealing with the issue of whether to force the release of these documents. There are a lot of Republicans in the Congress who are essentially trying to protect Trump by stalling or squashing the release of documents. The Democrats and some other Republicans are pushing for the release of all these Epstein documents, and it's actually causing a bit of a split within Trump's own support group, because it's always been this pressure among the MAGA, the Make America Great Again people, who are Trump's base, who think that the files all need to be released, and that this is somehow going to show this vast conspiracy by the American political establishment to support and protect Epstein. Other Republicans say they want to protect Trump more. So it's really causing a bit of a split within some in the Republican Party. Democrats all want it released. The bottom line is we don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's some votes coming up. But it's a huge issue here, and it's not getting any smaller.
So it actually is becoming a big issue, which is quite interesting. I believe, well, what I read, and again, it's so hard to separate the fact and the fiction, the fact and the narrative. But I read that the redacted victim was that woman who unfortunately passed away fairly recently, but she had made it very, very clear that although she had spent time in the same place as Trump, that there was certain, that there was no wrongdoing, and he just seemed always very, very nice.
Yeah, that's this Virginia Giuffre,
yes,
who recently, unfortunately, committed suicide. She's published a posthumous book And throughout, apparently she's been consistent that she never had any encounters with Trump and didn't see anything that she thought was inappropriate with Trump. The other side is, well, there's these emails from Epstein, which seems to indicate something different, but there's no smoking gun. There's nothing that we call a smoking gun, no direct positive proof of anything. There's just a lot of innuendo. Democrats, again, it's splitting up the Republican Party a bit because there have been many in that group and that party who have said that all these files need to be released, and they portray Epstein as this guy who's been protected by the political establishment, both on the left and the right.
And I'm sure that's true.
I think there are a lot of, well, yeah, the names of the prominent people who have been involved with Epstein, I mean, it's astonishing. And some of the stuff is just flat out embarrassing. For example, there's a guy named Larry Summers, who's former president of Harvard University, my old college, and the former U.S. Treasury Secretary.
Right.
And there are emails from him asking Jeffrey Epstein for advice on women, on dating women and dealing with women.
Oh,
And
my word.
it's, I mean, this isn't the sex trafficking stuff, but there's a couple of examples of prominent men communicating with Epstein basically just to get advice on dating. And it's not the horrendous sex trafficking stuff that Epstein was convicted of, but it just gives you some sense of how the powerful establishment, a lot of elite leaders were communicating with Epstein and why they were communicating. And in a case like this, what is it that Epstein offers these men? I mean, you have to, that's the starting place. I
It's like,
mean,
this is what I
even
keep
if we don't.
thinking about this, because it's very clear to me that, I know that they used to say Israel was a bipartisan issue in the United States. Clearly, so was Epstein, because he definitely had an appeal across the aisle as well. How did he do this? How did he ingratiate himself to such an extent
Well,
within for this political elite?
right, that's the key question. And I think you have to ask yourself, look, I'm a former prosecutor, so I start all these analyses with my prosecutorial hat on. So what is it that Epstein offered, whether it, and I'm not saying this was it, but in any case like this, is it drugs? Is it money? Is it sex? And in Epstein's case, it was essentially sex. He was offering what looked like a protected lifestyle to a lot of elite and apparently incredibly insecure men who were powerful. And in turn, Epstein got access. He got access to Prince Andrew, or whatever he's calling himself these days, for example, among
Formerly
other
known as
people.
Prince.
Right, formerly known as Prince Andrew. But it gives you some sense of, I mean, a thing that's striking me is the level of insecurity of these incredibly powerful
It's so
elite men
interesting.
who can't get a date, essentially.
It's bizarre. What about status? When you when you know, I'm just fascinated. You listed those three things. As a prosecutor, you look to see what was the gain. Is status one of them?
It is, but what's interesting about that is all these men are sort of at Epstein's level. Now, how
That's
he
true.
got there is a
That
whole
is
other
true.
story. He started out as a math teacher at a private girls'
Oh my
school
God.
in the 70s, I think. And the next thing you know, he's got these billions of dollars. How did he get that? That's always a good question. He's got ranches, of course, in my state here of New Mexico. Actually, I'm calling you from New York tonight, but in New Mexico, he's got a giant ranch. He had that giant island, or that famous island in the Caribbean. He had townhouses in New York. Remember, he's photographed with Prince Andrew walking through Central Park. He gains access to the powerful, the elite, and again, to me, the key is what does he have? And maybe he's a genius at making people money, but he also provides, sadly, he's sex trafficking these young innocent women. And the question is, how far up does that go? Who's involved? And in the Donald Trump's case, are these claims that Epstein's making before before his death, these emails he's sending to people before he's been arrested and charged in the federal sex trafficking case, are they legitimate? Is it something that he's just trying to build a case against Trump, or is this a real accurate analysis of Trump's involvement, and we just don't know.
Something you alluded to earlier was that it originally was very much a Democrat-focused area. That's what I recall, the Clinton administration. There was definitely, and certainly we know about his particular issues, but the, if you'll excuse that expression, actually wrong, bad choice of words. But never mind that. It was very much a Democrat issue. How has it been? How's it happened that it's been moved over to become a Republican concern?
Well, the main drag on that, or the main entry point, has been Jeffrey Epstein's friendship with Donald Trump, which apparently began in the 1980s, stretched into the 90s. There was a break between the two men. At some point, Trump says he broke off friendship with Epstein when he realized he was a creep. Epstein says Trump was involved, and he doesn't give any specifics except for the one instance where he says Trump was with this young, unnamed underage woman at his house, but doesn't give anything other than that. So there was a break between the two men. They had been social friends. They had been seen socially in Florida and New York, apparently, numerous times, and no one's disputing that. But it's morphed into a issue that's sucked Trump into it, where initially I think the Republicans, as you said, they thought they were going to be able to ensnare Democrats. There's apparently even an email from Epstein saying Bill Clinton never went to my island. That was always one of the issues, was Bill Clinton on these flights on
To
Epstein's
that,
plane? Did he go to his island? Were there allegations of wrongdoing? And for whatever reason, Epstein does include some, or does write some email to someone where he says that Bill Clinton was never at my island, for
interesting.
what that's worth.
We do need to leave it there. John Day, thank you as always. Thank you for staying up late in New York to chat to us.